Industrial Talk is brought to you by Armis. Yes, you are in the digital transformation game. Yes, you need to find trusted companies, trusted individuals to help you along with that journey. The Armis platform delivers complete asset intelligence. You know what that means? Insights into your connected assets. You're in the digital transformation game. You have to have that insights into what is connected. Go to armis.com. Find out more. You will not be disappointed. As well as Neom, that's N-E-O-M. Go out to neom.com. Simply put, Neom, it will be a destination, a home for people who dream big. Neom dreams big. And want to be part of building a new model for sustainable living, working, and prospering. That's neom.com. Go out there, find out more. It's exciting. They are dreaming big at neom.com.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. This is a platform. This industrial community is a platform. We are industry because of you. We celebrate industry professionals all around the world because you deserve it, because you're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you're making people's lives better, and therefore you're making the world a better place. All right, in the hot seat, we have Rafael Ozaki. He goes by Rafa, by the way. He is the business unit CEO of United States Grit, Control, America, and Pacific. It's a lengthy title, but you go out to his stat card on LinkedIn, you will not be disappointed. Let's get cracking. Yep. You will not find a nicer guy. He's a super nice guy. And we were at DistribuTech, and we were supposed to connect at DistribuTech, but that just didn't pan out. He had a beetle and do some important stuff. But we were very fortunate to be able to do it over Zoom, so we're pretty excited about that. A couple of things. One, I've got some events coming up, and the events are... Let me just sort of back this up. When I was going to school, I wanted to learn calculus. I wanted to go right into calculus. I wanted to go directly there. But what I didn't do is I didn't do a good job at laying the foundation of understanding, you know, algebra. And so I got frustrated. I was very frustrated because I didn't understand calculus. So I had to make that decision and say, okay, Scott, bone up, go back. And really understand algebra, really understand all of the things associated with math, and then therefore calculus was no problem, and we had a good time, and it was really enjoyable. Fast forward, and I find that we're in the similar situation, and maybe not companies that understand the utility market, but we're doing a state of utilities, state of oil and gas, and state of manufacturing, I'm not going to say webinars, so I call them live podcasts, because I believe that there's a lot of buzz, a lot of hype, a lot of information floating around out there, and I think that it's imperative to create some clarity, because I believe, I get this quote from Stan with RTI, a confused mind doesn't make a decision. And so I want everybody to be successful. I want the utilities to be successful. I want the power producers to be successful. I want the grid to be stable and successful. I want oil and gas and so on and so forth. And to do that and to get buy-in, to get people to understand, we have to lay that foundation of the state of utilities. What are we doing? What is it about? Why are we doing it? And answer those questions. So we're going to have a panel of great guests to be able to answer those questions. But it's going to be from the perspective of creating understanding and not just go right into calculus, not go right into, you know, the DIRS and all of the stuff that's associated with that side of the utilities. So we're going to go right into that. I'm going now, put these on your calendars. This is sort of shifting gears now. Put this on your calendars. I am going to be broadcasting from IMTS, and that is in Chicago, and I believe it is September 12th through the 17th. If you're in the manufacturing world, You gotta hook me up, because I would be more than happy to interview you. We're going to be having a great location at that event. It's massive, absolutely massive. If you're in the manufacturing world, must attend event. And I'm also going to another event, and that would be, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll have it out there on Industrial Talk, and that's going to be in Houston. And it's the same thing. It's going to be around manufacturing. So those are two events that I highly recommend that you put on, and I'm going to be, once again, on site. Let's have a conversation. Let's have fun. Let's help people understand what is going on. All right. So go out. Let me just sort of look at his stat card right here. Raphael, O-Z-A-K-I is his last name. Reach out to him. And we're talking about the grid modernization. Me being an old utility lineman and a utility guy, and negotiated power purchase agreements and all of the good stuff associated with that, and did the regulatory stuff. This is an interesting conversation, and it's got some challenges. And it is, if I put my utility hat on, I need trusted Sherpas to be able to help with this journey, because it's challenging. And you'll get a sense that Rafa knows what's going on, and many at and Siemens understand what is going on. So this is going to be a great conversation. So hang tight, take notes, and enjoy the conversation with Rafa. Rafael, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for looping back. You were at DTEC. We were going to go talk there, but you got busy because it was really a good opportunity and a good experience for you, Siemens, and the team Siemens. And now we're talking virtually because we can do that.
That's true. That's true. One of the advantages of remote work, isn't it, Scott? So thanks for having me. Thanks for the opportunity to talk here today. Yes, DTEC, I mean, you mentioned that was a great fair. I haven't personally seen our booth so busy in a while, right? And not only due to the pandemic, but also due to the immense, you know, attention that we got pitching, you know, Siemens Grid Software this time in the U.S. was really a cool event. Tons of good discussions with partners, with analysts, with customers. It was a great time. I hope you enjoy it as well.
Oh, I had a fabulous time, man. It's right in my wheelhouse, the old crotchety journeyman lineman myself. I was a kid in a candy store. The thing that was really spectacular on my side, in my little, you know, gray matter, was how significantly different the utility, the energy market has changed. It is super dynamic, super fast, changes that are coming in waves of tsunamis. And I can only be thankful for companies like Siemens and others that are, I don't know, navigating these waters, because digital transformation is happening. And I think the masses, don't realize what's coming down the turnpike. That's for sure. Before we get into that conversation about grid modernization, let's set the tone. Give us a little background, Raphael, about who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, awesome. No, I'll do that, Scott. So Raphael Ozaki, I go by Rafa, who knows me. So I have been in this industry for around 15 years, Scott. And time flies. Starting my career down in Brazil, Latin America, as a protection and control engineer, fell in love about managing an organization, was given the opportunity to head our energy and automation business unit down there, moved to headquarters. So Siemens being a German company, I was living in Germany for around 4.5 years and dealing with the more strategic side of the house. And then was given the opportunity to come here to the U.S. and lead our Siemens Grid Software unit for the U.S. and Mexico, represent our metering business here in the U.S., and also had our grid control side of the business for the Americas and the Pacific regions. And has been quite of a journey. I mean, I still...
Oh, you've seen a lot of changes.
Yeah, a lot of changes.
Like, it's, you know, my thinking has always been very linear when it comes to utilities. It's like generation, transmission, substation, and so on, and down to me, consumer of power. That's it. And it was a one-way journey, linear, but that's not the case nowadays. And when we start talking about grid modernization.
Yep.
It's happening.
Explain
for the listeners what is just one, the grid. What's it today? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, no, good point, Scott. I mean, it's fascinating, right? We started the conversation mentioning how much change is happening right now. And the most basic change, I would say, is the change of the energy flow, of course, right? Some of your listeners might be really well educated already in how the generation mix is changing from big power plants flowing energy down the transmission lines and getting to us consumers, to a way more dynamic energy mix that now considers this buzzword called DERs, distributed energy resources, being those solar panels, wind farms, storage at utility large scale, feeding energy, right? Dispatching energy, distribution level of the grid. And imagine yourself now sitting on a grid operator role, trying to manage reliability and resilience with this flow now completely multi-directional, right? It's not an easy task, I tell you, and utilities are currently facing unprecedented change, you know, on how they keep things going, right, as we used to see, but again, keeping reliability, resiliency, and quality of energy delivered to the main point of consumption, right?
And utilities are driven by majority of them, and maybe some utilities are different, maybe some co-ops would be different, but really driven by the rate case. This is what our rate of return is. This is what we are supposed to do. They still are governed by that relationship with states and the state entities of how to deliver power and reliably, because everybody is driven by that. It's like, yeah, when I come into a room, I'm going to flip the switch, boom, I'm good to go. And those tenets of deliverable service are still there. But when we start talking about grid modernization, we're talking about putting a little pressure on those, you know, those tenets of service delivery. How do we do that? How do we transition into this brave new world of grid modernization and ensure that me, Joe Sixpack, flips on the switch and I'm good to go and I'm watching my TV, you know, because that's really
it. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, Scott. Yeah. And I would say it's not a one single stakeholder here that can make that change and make the difference. The ecosystem has to coordinate itself. And here I'm talking about policymakers, regulators, vendors, utilities in the end of the day, and us consumers, right? Being residential or, you know, commercial consumers. In the end of the day, Scott, what is key here to make that transition happen is alignment, right? Understanding that we are after a purpose here to really combat climate change, and the energy sector has to give its contribution, right? It's clear that it's not going to be overnight change and everything will keep, you know, providing or delivering energy to you so you can flip the switch and notice no change. That is the ultimate goal. But in the end of the day, it's a combined and collective effort and really gets down to defining the priorities on asset level, what has to be changed on a substation level, on a power plant level. After that, I mean, of course, technology needs to advance in the way how you plan, how you maintain your grid, and how you operate your grid. And here is where we believe we can help utilities make the trick, you know, or do the trick. We in Siemens Grid Software, we offer consulting and a software suite that follows clear design principles. So we're open, we are modular, we are flexible. We believe that we cannot do this change alone. So partnerships are completely in the trenches with us to really address several different use cases, Scott. Everything now gets way more complex, as we were alluding to. So you got to plan your enhancements in the grid way more in advance and way more precise than before, right? You got to also operate in real time, considering those effects and the different energy mix, populating your grid, right? In near real time, right? So connecting metering with the control room, it's another use case that we are a strong believer to that can help utilities navigate this complexity. And in the end of the day, also how you engineer the grid. So how you coordinate settings to protect all the assets in the grid is another area of attention that will help deal with the new, you know, flow of energy to help utilities deliver the energy in quality and reliably to all consumers. So it's a lot, Scott, going on.
It is. And first thing that comes to my mind is how I'm a utility. How do I prioritize? Where do I go? And you brought up a number of really incredible points. The thing that I always gravitate to is that here's a system. The system has grown, but the general design has not changed over 100 years, right? And that is the existing asset base that exists today. Now we're trying to take that design, that model, and be able to modify it to accommodate a lot of these conversations and a lot of this technology. The area that I can think of is money. I'm a utility, money. I've got to prioritize. Yes, I'm talking about it. And my neighboring utility is in a different position than I am. It's going to happen. I just, you know, baseline, it's happening whether we like it or not. It's, I see the utilities are sort of the driver of the adoption, and that's speed, right? You can't push them faster. So it's sort of this. So how do we begin that journey?
There is not a single recipe, to be honest, Scott. And I think depends a lot on the specific utility environment, you know? So we looking at the US, but that trend actually happens worldwide, right? I mean, you have spots where the DER's potential for clean energy generation, it's heavier than others. And you see way more incentives going on also to build those assets. So a utility operating in that geography would be today already facing enormous challenges to keep reliability and dispatch from those clean energy assets along with the existing traditional ones. So there the challenge would be, how can I prioritize, you know, controllability over those assets so I can optimize and increase usage of clean resources versus, you know, carbon ones, right? And that would be leading to an application on the software space called DERMS, right? Distribution Energy or Distributed Energy Resources Management System. Yeah. That would be an immediate need for an utility residing in that area. If you go in other geos, right, you may face weather inclement events happening often enough for those consumers to lose power, you know, in outages that are difficult to predict. So there the challenge would be, how can I increase resilience, right, by designing my grid differently? So applying, again, clean energy resources, but designing the grid over microgrids or mini grids. So even though I lose, you know, my main source of power, the community, the main critical assets in that region would be still supplied, you know, and given a certain range to operate by itself. So it depends a lot on the need. The reality is everyone is thinking about reaching that goal, you know, of contributing to the climate change impact. And the energy grid, it's a key, you know, backbone to really make the electrification happen, right? So it really depends, in my view, Scott.
Yeah, it is. It's got to be a case by case, because I look at, I know Southern California Edison's connected to, in wherever, connected to PG&E, San Diego. Everybody's sort of in across outside of ERCOT. Everybody's connected in some way, shape, or form, and that dependency is vital, and it's a part of delivering solutions. If I'm a utility that tends to be a little bit more aggressive in this transition, do I come out of sync with a utility that's just not there yet? Is there some interesting dynamics that exist there?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how that interconnection works. And utilities are talking to each other, and I see more and more of that happening, Scott. Fairs and conferences like DTEC, we mentioned that in the beginning of the talk. It's, for instance, a platform, you know, for utilities to exchange, right? What we are also doing is, since we have a tremendous installed base serving utilities right now.
Yeah, Siemens. I've stubbed my toe on a couple of Siemens devices.
I mean, just to give you some facts, Scott, I mean, we have more than 1,300 control centers around the globe operating with our SCADA platform, right? We have more than 70% of the power being supplied today running and being planned, right, with a software suite that we develop and deliver. So we consider ourselves a key element of the industry overall. Yeah. And as one of the key elements of our success and longevity has been our user group meetings. You know, in those user group meetings, we have customers across the board invited to participate and give their opinion on our roadmap development, give us intense feedback, right, and non-filter feedback to incorporate on our strategy in our vision. And it's, again, also a forum for them to have those conversations and also evaluate how the OT and IT landscapes should now enable this conversation in between ISOs, in between territories, in between jurisdictions, you know, to make sure that the reliability is not concentrated in one geography, but it really benefits the whole industry, right? So it's
one I like the passion to collaborate. I love the passion to collaborate. I think that is a recipe, at least foundationally, for success. And we have to succeed at this, at the rate of things and the rate of things that are changing so dramatically. That's key. You got to be sort of, I understand there's secret sauces in any company, but for the most part, I think there has to be this open book approach to collectively solve the challenges and a bright future. Don't get me wrong. See how I used bright? That's an electric.
Scott, yeah.
Bright future. Hey, here's a question I have for you. And it's the adoption of EVs, right?
Yep.
They're happening. And it's happening at a pretty dramatic pace. And yet the reality is I'm taking that EV, plugging it into the grid. And that's great. I'm pulling. Let's say I'm charging.
Yeah.
There's a rate. And here's this sort of semi-static grid. It doesn't change much. And yet here's this rate of demand being driven by these EVs. How do we even address that?
Yeah, it's really a tough one, Scott, because the trend is coming, right? Again, we are here seeing another, you know, complex load and generation asset being attached to the distribution level of the grid.
Yeah.
An area that was not being, I would say, advanced, you know, in terms of enhancements in digitalization as well as visibility that much and not long ago. So everything starts with preparing and coordinating that avalanche of, you know, new loads that will come up really tightly together between the administration of those charging points with whoever is providing energy, right? And it's not an easy answer. Again, we may not see only one recipe of success, but one thing I can tell you, I mean, whenever we see, you know, the point of consumption and delivery talking to each other and coordinating that to plan in advance how much load we are talking about and which point, by which time you expect peak loads to be charged, you know, and at which power level, the success is reached, you know, so you can prepare. The utility will be way more advanced, you know, in prepare themselves for that additional load. And whoever is managing that charging point will also benefit by having, you know, a clean installation and staging, so the end users will benefit as well in the end of the chain, you know? So it requires also, Scott, if I may add on that, not only the physical investments to enhance the grid in copper and wires, but also require what we are strong believers, a incredible advanced, you know, software landscape to manage that complexity, you know, that it's not there yet, right? I used to talk to many, you know, VPs of transmission, distribution, and utilities here in the U.S., and we are often in touch. And from one specifically, I heard that to reach reliability in energy delivery, you first need to think about two other abilities, you know. The first one is visibility that leads you to controllability. And with controllability, you can ensure reliability. So those are the three abilities you have.
Define, I got the controllability. What's the visibility? Yeah.
The visibility, right, of what's going on, it's the very first step for you to achieve controllability level, right?
Got it.
And after you have controllability up to a certain, you know, degree, then you can, you know, take actions in advance to ensure reliability in the energy delivery, right?
Yeah. And it was interesting back when I was climbing towers, there were always conversations about reconductoring, right?
Yeah.
Bundle whatever is necessary because the demand is increasing. We can push more through whatever it might be. Those realities of the grid rarely happen because there are so many hurdles to do that. Right?
Yeah.
And now we're just it's a whole nother equation out there that requires probably some increased capacity on certain transmission, but then maybe not over whatever in the distribution. Here's some old stuff. What do we and the whole, you know, the conversation is so dynamic.
Yeah.
It begs the question too. With all of that, you guys, you know, you gather around the water cooler, you talk about this, you understand the use cases that are being bantered back and forth. Mm-hmm. But then there's this education component that exists or culture within in these utilities. And that has to be addressed because they have to. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, it's one of the main points, actually, Scott, that we have been discussing in IEEE. So I sit in the executive advisory board of IEEE, along with other fellows, you know, from the industry. And we have been discussing a chapter there on workforce management, especially on the skill set of our teams, right? Being on the vendor side or on the utility side, how can we ensure that people are comfortable, you know, with the challenge at first so we can collectively get together and prioritize, as we were discussing, what has to be done next, first, second, and third, you know? And it's a reality. It's not a change, again, that will happen overnight. I think the awareness is now getting to a level that it's increasing action, you know, from the universities to, you know, trainings on company and utility level to ensure, you know, refreshment is there and that ecosystem starts operating with the same direction, you know. It's gonna be still some time until we get there. But we are also facing, Scott, a lot of transition. So agile methodologies to develop innovation and to deploy innovation, helping also to accelerate that change, you know. So we used to talk about very, you know, long cycles to stage a simple SCADA, you know.
Yeah.
And give the ability to control from a control room a very small territory, right? Now you are talking about, you know, a way faster pace to deploy technologies like that using agile methodologies. So I am a big fan of it, a big believer that these will also help with the workforce skill set. You know?
See, in organizations like IEEE, they're even going through, and we need standards, right? It's just a reality. We need standards. We need that sort of governing type of structure that is around this journey. And even organizations like IEEE and others, that they're going through a cultural change because they're realizing we normally did it this way. And you brought it up from an agile perspective. This is the way we normally do everything. And it's pretty pragmatic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're inserting agile methodologies. And it's like, we don't, even they are going through some interesting challenges.
Yeah. It is. It's true. It's true, Scott. I mean, everyone is being affected by the pace of change. And I think everyone is now acknowledging that the pace from before is not acceptable anymore. Right. Yeah. And again, I think what motivates people in the end is the purpose. Right. It's like the purpose of the broom is not the broom. It's a clean floor. Right. And we are all here not delivering software. You're here thinking about what the impact of the digitalized component in this energy transition can help us combat climate change, for instance, right?
Yeah.
And many other purposes. So it's a big change.
I don't see it stopping. I don't see it ending anytime soon. I'm telling you right now because because people like you and others are coming up with new use case applications. Hey, check this out. We've got this technology with this technology. Now we create a new use case. Let's run with that one. And it's just, and it's good and bad all at once. We're going to have to wrap it up, my friend. How do people get a hold of Rafi? Rafi or Rafa?
Rafa. Rafa.
Rafa. Hey, bing. I got it. Rafa. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, I mean, Siemens Grid Software. Yeah. So it represents Siemens Grid Software here in the U.S. and Mexico. I mean, you can reach out to me via email, for instance, rafael.ozaki@siemens.com. And of course, I mean, we have a whole team here in the U.S. that will be supporting whoever would like to understand more about how we can contribute to the energy transition. So that would be the best way to reach out to me, Scott.
Gosh, I like it. I really love this conversation, Rafa. All right, Rafa is his name. Siemens is the company. Grid modernization, everything in between was the topic. Excellent job. I enjoyed this immensely. It's like warm cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, you see? I'm enjoying
I needed
mine.
That. There it is. Boom. Right there. All right, listeners, fear not. We're going to have all the conference contact information for Rafa at industrialtalk.com. So do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you very much for joining once again, Industrial Talk. This platform, remember it, it is dedicated to you industrial professionals all around the world. We have to be able to educate, collaborate, and of course, innovate. And that's what Rafa and Team Siemens bring to the table. They want to educate, they want to collaborate, and definitely they are innovating, and we need that going forward. If you have a passion for a resilient business, you're going to have to find trusted individuals to help you with that journey. We do not have all of the answers, but we're going to sure make Industrial Talk a platform, an ecosystem, an ever-expanding ecosystem of industrial problem solvers and individuals that truly want to help. So that's what Industrial Talk is all about. All right, be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Thank you again for joining. Hang out with people like Rafa, and you're going to change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned.